Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We'll have David Poyle, Predators General Manager, coming up at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, I got a pair of tickets to give away before you can buy them to see Depeche Mode on Thursday, October 19th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Depeche Mode on Thursday, October 19th, 615-737-1025. So, obviously, we got a lot into the Predators and the basically state of the union of where they're at right now yesterday on the show. They're taking on Vancouver tonight, and that is a game that they really need to win. If they have any hope of making the playoffs, they need to put together a string here if you're the Predators, and that starts tonight against Vancouver. But we also spent a lot of time yesterday discussing the idea of being a seller if you're the Predators and what all that could look like. And as I go through the forward group, Joe, there's just not a lot there that I think that they're going to be able to sell. Like Niederreiter, I think they could move. I would be really interested to see if there would be anybody out there that would be interested in Granlund's contract. I kind of think no, based on the way that free agency's gone for him the last couple of times out there. But we'll see. But defensively, they're in an interesting spot because I've talked a lot about Fabbro and the decision that they have to make on he and Carrier moving forward after this year. There's the Ekholm noise that's out there, and it feels like every time the Predators are in approaching sell mode, Ekholm is the top guy that comes up. So we know that that noise is out there. The Ryan McDonagh part of this is interesting to me because I said this yesterday. I can guarantee you that Ryan McDonagh, when he decided to waive his no-trade clause and come to the Predators, did not have missing the playoffs in mind when he did that. He's getting paid $6.75 million a year for the next three seasons after this one. He's 33. He'll be 34 coming up in June. So you're talking about, obviously, an older guy, a guy that has a lot of wear and tear on his body, but also a guy that intangibly, I think, brings everything that you're looking for in a player, has done a whole lot of winning. And quite frankly, I think over the course of the past 3, 4, 5 weeks, along with Josi, is playing really well. Like I think McDonagh's been really good. So I wonder, if you're the Predators and you decide to go the route of selling, how much interest would there be in a Ryan McDonagh, given that he has done a lot of winning? He's been a vital piece of Tampa Bay and their two Stanley Cups, but he is also about to be 34, and there are 3 years remaining on his deal at a hefty cap number at $6.75 million, and he would have to waive his no-movement clause. And I brought in my personal expert, Adam Vingan, to confirm this, because there used to be a time where if you got traded – and you waived your no-movement clause, then it was gone at that point. Your no-movement clause was dead. That is no longer the case. It comes back with him. So
he approves something, he would have to prove he could have it back.
Where he could go.
Yeah.
I don't know this. I've not talked to Ryan McDonagh about it. Obviously, they've still got a season going on, and they're mathematically alive for the playoffs. But my guess would be, like, if you approached him and you asked him to waive his no-movement clause for the right playoff team, he would at least consider it. I wonder what the interest would be in a Ryan McDonagh out there.
Yeah, it's a good question. Tremendous pedigree, no question. Like you said, the intangibles. Kind of a rough start this year. Found his place. He's a good player. That's a hefty cap hit to me for where he is in his career for the next three seasons, man. Like, I mean, personally, if I'm a team out there, and I know that, you know, you're not telling me the exact same apples for apples player, but like Ekholm to me would be, I would be more interested in an Ekholm, I think. Again, not knowing exactly what you're looking for, like there's a lot of factors and variables and nuance in that, but just on its face, I think Ekholm would be, and I know that it's only a $500,000 less cap, but it's the same term, so it's similar.
He is a little younger.
But he's younger, and, yeah, it's close. But in both cases, I feel like if you had a year or two less on those deals, it's like the same thing as you look up and down this roster. There's just a lot that's just going to be very hard to move right now. I do feel like with both of those guys, you could potentially find someone who says, yes, first of all, that's making a big difference for us down the stretch and in the postseason, and also a core player the next few years, worth it. But who can also make the numbers work? And that's another thing with all this stuff. It's so different. I know it's pointless to compare this to the NFL, but you know, you can always make it work there for the most part there, and you just move on from somebody else maybe you'd like to keep, which is where the cap is real.
Yep.
In the NHL, there's no such thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's a really interesting case study to me because there's a lot of reasons that you just laid out well that I think a team wouldn't do it. Like, there's the cap hit, there's the age, there's the wear and tear. There's all these reasons why, like, it doesn't make sense to trade for a Ryan McDonagh. And then there's the fact that, and we talked about this yesterday, teams are always looking for a left-shot defenseman. They're always looking for a top-four left-shot defenseman. And he just – I watch him play, and, you know, he's not going to blow anybody away with his speed out there, and I think it took him a while to get adjusted to the Predators this year. But, I mean, he makes so many small plays where you're just like, man, that was really good. Like, he moves the puck well, some of the shot blocks he has. I mean, there's a reason that he wins everywhere he goes. Like, well, he's a great player.
If you watch, yeah, I mean, there's so many more, obviously, players who are more important with the Lightning. But if you watch those teams, he was one of those just X factors or whatever, just key core guys who just was always making the right play, brings the toughness, all that stuff. So I agree. There are GMs around the league who are going to be enamored with that, and they should be.
Do you want to do that if you're the Predators?
Well.
What? Because that's the thing.
You got to do something if you're selling, right?
I agree. Like, you got to do something if you're selling. I also don't think that you can just sell the whole defense corps, right? Like, you can't – like, to me, you can't sell Favreau, Ekholm, and McDonagh. Like, that's a – what do you have coming up? Like, they just – we talked about this before. Like, their prospect pool, while I think it's gotten a lot better with their forwards – there's not a whole lot there with defensemen. So, like, the idea of playing younger players on defense, I get that. There's not really many younger players that they have ready to play on defense. So, now maybe you get a couple back in a trade. I don't know. The more I think about it, if they decide to sell, the decisions that they make on the defensive side of things are pretty intriguing. Like, let's say you did trade a Ryan McDonagh. Does that make you more open to finding another deal with Dante Favreau and keeping him around? Like, the reason I think that Favreau is probably gone after this year is because they went and got McDonagh. And that told me, like, okay, well, they don't think Favreau's a top four guy. They went and got McDonagh. If you trade an Ekholm or a McDonagh, does that change the way you view Favreau? I don't know. You probably shouldn't. But like I said, they don't have much coming up after that.
Yeah, it's a good question. So Favreau's a 2-4 this year, restricted free agent. I wouldn't want to pay him that much for what he gives this team. If you move on from McDonagh, I'm not saying you're just completely punting on being competitive next year, but you kind of are, right? I mean, that's a signal because he is signed. That move entirely was with the plan of not just this year, but the next couple of years, you are going to be a competitive team.
Correct.
You move a McDonagh, you're saying, actually, nope, we're not going to be competitive.
Well, and from his point of view, like, he made it pretty clear when he got traded from Tampa Bay to here, like, while they were looking for teams, first off, there wasn't a whole lot that was out there based on his cap hit. But secondly, you know, he made it pretty clear, like, he wants no part of a rebuild. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's about to be 34 years old. Like, he wants no part of a rebuild. So if the Predators decide to go a certain direction, like, part of me wonders, like, if you're McDonagh, do you approach David Poile and the Predators and be like, hey, yeah, I don't want to do this. Like, find me somewhere to go, and I'll go.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. There's a whole bunch of – we always talk about this from the perspective of, like, Poile, you know?
Right.
You know, what can you do to possibly sell off, to change direction, all that stuff? From the perspective of the players, and again, look, ultimately, to me, it's like it's on. Like, if you don't like this, you got to perform better than this. But there's a whole bunch of guys on this roster who will not have an appetite for what's coming if that's what's coming.
615-737-1025. What do you make of the decisions the Predators could have at their disposal when it comes to their defense corps? What do you make of the idea of Ryan McDonagh and what that could mean for the Predators if they decide to sell at the deadline. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic. We are streaming live here on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. David Poile coming up in about 13 minutes or so, 8:30. He's scheduled to join us, so looking forward to that conversation. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Preds, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Colin from Miami. Colin, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're good.
Good.
Good. So, obviously, we're very disappointed with the Predators season this year, but entering last season, what did you guys think we were going to finish? I would say probably a lottery team, right?
Entering last season? Well, Joe had him go in the playoffs.
I picked the Preds to go to the playoffs last year.
Really? Okay. All right. So I thought they were going to severely underachieve. You guys thought that they were going to make the playoffs. We had a bunch of players overachieving last season. Yossi was unbelievable. Duchene, career year. Forsberg, career year. Janot, I don't know if he'll replicate last season. Saros, amazing. So you have all those players. And we expected them to replicate what they had last season to this season. I just think that we kind of bought into it, and we're now left with egg on our face looking dumb. What do you guys think?
Hey, thanks for the call, Colin. I mean, look, I think everybody expected regression from Yossi, Forsberg, and Duchene to some degree. I mean, we talked about that a lot.
A lot.
Heading into the season. Like, there was nobody expected Matt Duchene to put up 43 goals this year. Like, that was never really within the realm of realism to me. Now, the problem is I also expected – you know, with McDonough coming in, with Niederreiter coming in, with maybe guys like Janot taking another step, some younger players taking another step, that in the aggregate, you could make up for the goals that were lost by Duchene and Forsberg, and you could defend better, which, by the way, huge problem with last year's team. Defensively, they were atrocious at the end of the year. And at times this year, they've defended better. At times, they haven't. UC Saros is still UC Saros. But it just hasn't come together. Like, to his point, you know, Forsberg hasn't been as productive. Yossi hasn't been as productive. Duchene hasn't been as productive. We kind of expected all those things. But it's been a pretty massive drop-off from some other guys, too, that it takes a perfect storm. If you're gonna lose production from those guys that we talked about, you got to get it from somewhere else, and they haven't gotten it from somewhere else.
Right, and it's an aging roster. It's an aging core. And, yeah, we absolutely expected regression there. And that, I mean, you hit on Janot. I mean, look at like the herd line in general, what they did and how important they were last year.
Exactly.
I mean, I personally expected, you know, Tomasino to be on the team and take another step. I mean, I think that was a reasonable expectation after what he did last year.
Yeah. And everybody had him in the top six in training camp.
So there's a lot that has gone on. But it is a not quite a flip-flop of expectations, but a very different expectations for this team because of what they did last year.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, I mean, Saros, as good as he is, he struggled the first part of the season. Like, he was coming off the injury, and, you know, the first month and a half of the season, we were asking, all right, what's going on with UC Saros? I mean, his save percentage was in the eights. You don't see that from UC Saros very much, and now he's rebounded, and he's really, really good, and he's figured things out, but this team just doesn't have a lot of margin for error. And that's, you know, we had this discussion even at the end of last year. What does it all mean when you got the career years from all these guys and you still were the last team to get in the playoffs? Like, what does that mean about how good this team actually is? And now, and here we are 50-something games into the season, and they're on the outside looking in and kind of hanging on by a thread in the playoff race right now.
And again, the power play, I guess inflated a little bit.
It did.
But I'm sure you go around to a lot of teams, and that's right. I mean, well, have top forwards like will have really good power plays right?
You know, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are really good, and they're really good in every situation. But when your power plays clicking at 32%, look pretty good out there.
So it's them. It's because of them, but also their numbers are because of that. And then so last year the power play helped those numbers a ton for everybody. And I think it also just helped them in 5-on-5 when you have that. I mean, when you're producing, just like any sport, if you're in basketball, if you're hitting shots, you defend better, right? Like it affects your game. If the power play is clicking and you're scoring and you're producing on that, it affects everything else. And I still think that's the one element that's just, I mean, it's basically done a 180 this year.
Scott from Goodlettsville says, why do Preds fans expect regression of player performance year over year? Do other stars in the league get this preferable treatment? This from Scott from Goodlettsville.
So I think you're misunderstanding there, Scott. So again, the point is, if a bunch of people have career years, you shouldn't expect them to have career years again, especially at this age. I mean, Duchesne's season last year is an outlier for him relative to what he's been the past few years, right?
Well, it's an outlier for him relative to what he's been his entire career.
Right.
He's never approached 40 goals before.
Right. So we're not giving him a break. We're trying to be realistic that he wasn't going to get 43 goals again this year. If you thought he was, okay, you can think that. But if you look at all his stats from the time he was 18 years old, he had an incredible, magical year. Again, how many of those? I mean, someone has the stat. I don't have it in front of me right now. A whole bunch of those points and goals can be traced to the power play.
Right. And as far as the regression part of this, like, you got to be – to put up consistently high – like, if you're hitting the 40-goal mark every year or the 50-goal mark every year or the 100-point mark every year, you're talking about elite players.
Then you expect that.
Right. And you expect it. You're talking about elite players. Like, I still think Roman Josi is an elite player. And he's, I don't even know what point total he's at right now. He's not going to approach what he did a year ago, but he's probably going to end up around 60, 65 points, somewhere in that neighborhood, which for a defenseman, is pretty darn good.
Right.
Like, it's right in line with where he normally is. It's just not 96 like it was a year ago.
Which was the most since the early 1990s. So, no, you don't expect that. Even though he's a great player, yeah, you probably, you know, you hoped, okay, can he get you 75 this year, right? So he's going to come up a bit short.
I mean, he could still hit 70, and which is a great year, but it's just not 96 like it was. The point is, like, they have gotten the regression from some of their top guys.
But all of them.
Players, but all of them at the same time, and players that they needed to step in and fill the void, either one, haven't been here, two, have been shipped out, or three, have not played the way that they hoped that they would coming into the year.
The regression in performance that's underrated to me is Granlund and Johansson.
For sure.
And I know that this stat is very flawed, but they have the worst two plus minuses on the team. Granlund minus 16, Johansson minus 13. I mean, those guys, and this is some of it intangible, and, you know, it's I don't have data, but they were much better players last year.
Well, and the eyeball tests would take, like, Granlund for sure. Well, I mean, Granlund, Johansson, both. But, like, Granlund
the
was
numbers
a guy
say it too, but
last year that you could see the impact he was having on the games. Like, Johansson, you could see the impact they were having on the games. And it just hasn't happened this year. Like, I watched Granlund play the other day against Minnesota. I was like, man, there's not much going on out there with Mikael Granlund right now. And Johansson, the same thing. Like, I know Johansson scored on Saturday and had a good game against Florida. But, like, it's been few and far between those guys having impactful games so far this year. And when you get all that together, that's how you end up where you are in the standings right now.
I mean, Granlund had 64 points last year in 80 games. You know, he's got 30 in 54 right now.
It's a big drop-off.
And it looks that way. It looks like that. So, it's like across the board. And so, hey, last night you put up that we're going to ask David. I mean, there are all these questions that people had for us to ask him, and a lot of them were about Hines too. And I'm not saying you don't put any blame on the coaching, but if all of these guys on the team take a step back like this, I still look at them first.
Well, and that's how you end up in the spot where you're at right now in the standings. And the other part of this is while they have had some injuries, it's not like they've just been blitzed with injuries this year either. They've been relatively healthy for the most part. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators GM David Poile. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 8:30, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators General Manager David Poile, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We're good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, David, obviously, we're paying a lot of attention over the course of the past week to the games you guys have played and the results that have gone with it. How much has this past week kind of influenced what you're thinking about this team and the direction that this thing could go here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think it's a very important time in our season and then our future in terms of, you know, really evaluating our team, our individual players, you know, how we played, what the future looks like. The last game against Minnesota was really a tough one for anybody, you know, losing in the last half a minute of the game after tying the game up in such an important game. So it'd be really interesting to see how we rebound again as individuals and as a team. But the trading deadline is March 3rd. I'll repeat again, I think it's just a very crucial time in the decisions that we make for not only the rest of this year, but it's certainly going to affect the future as to what we do or don't do in the next 10 or 12 days.
Well, David, if it goes the way of you thinking that, you know, it's time to think about selling and maybe selling significantly, how does that look? I mean, how it appears you may be in a bind with some of these contracts. I mean, do you feel like you can do significant changes given the state of the roster and the contracts?
I think we have, you know, players that are very attractive to other teams. Yes, you are correct. I don't think it's just for the Nashville Predators and our contracts, but I think everybody is up against it from the cap. You see the last deal that was made with St. Louis and Toronto. They needed a third team to take salary to make the deal work. So I think my answer is, if you want to do something and you have a willing partner, I think there's always ways. It may not be exactly perfect for both teams, but I think you can find a way. But I repeat again, are certain players in our team going to play better as we go forward with our team? Is this year, this inconsistency, is this a little bit of an anomaly, or do we need to make changes with our hockey club? So myself, my staff, our scouts, we are talking about a lot of things on a daily basis. I think you can pretty well imagine that it's pretty busy, if you will, in the National Hockey League in terms of general managers talking to each other, and you trade some thoughts and ideas, and we're just gonna have to see where we land and what opportunities we might have, and again just to make a strong evaluation on each individual on our team before we do anything.
Well, David, to that point, just have you, as a staff, as a front office, have you reached a decision on the path that you want to go, or do you guys still need more time to see how this unfolds over the next few games?
Like an injury, we're day to day. We talk every day about different situations, and I certainly could be influenced by somebody, having a desire to make a trade, whether we're talking about two different things, whether we're trading away a player or maybe we're acquiring a player. I think this is a great time of year in terms of, the dialogue between managers, because you find out a lot more about everybody's team. You find out a lot more about their individual players, who they really like, who they would trade. Again, when it happens, In terms of what we decide to do, it'll be probably pretty, I don't want to say pretty obvious, but, right now it's still up in the air. It's still a gray area. I am repeating again that I'm talking to lots of teams, and, just you never know what's going to happen. All I know is that we've got to win a game tonight, and we've got a couple more games, in my opinion, that can get us back into this race. So, for example, Calgary is a team that's ahead of us that we have to catch. So they played Philadelphia, a non-playoff team, last night, and they lost at home. So, you know, I'm just looking at a lot of different things right now.
David, what's your sense? You have a lot of veterans on this team, obviously. If you go the way of, I guess, the word rebuild, what's your sense for, you know, some of the veterans on this team, I guess their appetite for that? You know, obviously with some of your core being older, you mentioned, you know, maybe someone might want to be traded. I mean, have you thought about that just in terms of what a rebuild might look like and how it might affect some of the veterans?
I have, and I've talked to, you know, as the year's gone along, in terms of, I would say, discussing things with more veteran players, where we stand, some of the, you know, similar questions that you're asking me right now. I mean, it's got to change. We have to find a way to be a little bit better. It's like we've had in many of these conversations this year. Last year, 9 players had career years. This year, we have 0 players having career years. And, you know, I guess when you look over the course of somebody's career, that happens. You know, I guess we were fortunate, if you will, last year that we had 9 players that did that. Maybe we're very unlucky this year that we have nobody that's having a good year. And I think we have, you know, some really good players that you know, could be playing better, should be playing better. And, again, that weighs into the whole decision about what we do, you know, moving forward. To you use your word, you know, rebuild, I prefer the word like maybe a little bit of a reset. You know, maybe there's a middle ground into, you know, all this that we might do or not do. But, you know, we have to play this out. We got to see how we do tonight. And then we're sort of living, you know, day to day as we play the games and as we talk to people and we make decisions.
Predators General Manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex. So David, you mentioned, you know, living day to day. I'm just curious, as you and your staff evaluate your team and where it's at, like how much weight do you put into, you know, matchup as against other playoff quality teams? Is it just purely where you're at based on the standings day to day? Like how do you best evaluate where your team is as you guys go through making these decisions?
Well, I'm well aware of where we are, meaning we're not in the playoffs, and that's been an area that's been where we've been approximately the whole year, close but not quite there. I think in terms of, you know, who's the Stanley Cup favorites, I really believe that in the East you've got strong teams like Tampa Bay, Boston, the Rangers, Toronto. I actually feel that they're a little bit stronger right now than in the West. The West, Colorado, for example, is just ahead of us in the standings. They've had a tough year with injuries. I mean, I think making the playoffs on our side, I don't think there's any heavy favorite this year like there was last year with Colorado. So, you know, you could have, if you remember when we did go to the Stanley Cup Finals, we were the last team to make the playoffs. We were the 16th seed, if you will, and we went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. So, you know, as bad as it might look today, you know, if we could still put something together, you just never know.
David, do you have any update on Philip Forsberg? Is it possible he could be back tonight? And also, is Philip Tomasino staying here, or is he going back to Milwaukee?
Philip Forsberg is, you know, skating, not with the team. So no, he's not going to play tonight. I don't think he would play on this road trip. We have, you know, just 2 games to San Jose and Arizona, but I think that he's, you know, getting better. And, you know, maybe next week when we talk, can have maybe more of an exact update. Phil Thomas, you know, is staying with us right now. He's played okay. I think there's been some things that we've seen in terms of this quickness and speed and, a little bit better, but again, he needs to produce. We're giving him that opportunity to play in a higher role than he did last year. And yeah, I believe he's only got 1 assist. And again, he's kind of been thrown into the fire here, but this is his opportunity. So we're going to go with him, and we need him to, you know, to play a little bit better, and we need him to produce. So let's hope he starts doing that tonight.
David, really appreciate your time as always. Good luck tonight as you guys take on Vancouver, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. So we'll have a lot to react to on that front. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is time for Preds Pick to Click as well. So be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight at home, hosting the Vancouver Canucks. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. I am in first place with 14 correct answers. The listeners in second with 11. Joe Rex Road in third with 9. Michelle Knezovic with 7 correct answers. So some catching up for you all to do in the competition. With that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Andrew. Andrew, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I'm going with Matt Duchene tonight.
Going with Matt Duchene. Andrew, thanks for calling in. So Duchene, absolutely. So Duchene is the selection. Joe Rexrode, you were up first today in the competition. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I mean, being first is zero benefit. Can I trade this pick to get two firsts like next season?
Can I be totally honest? I gave a lot of consideration last Thursday to taking nobody, but I didn't do it. And then they got shut out, and I really kicked myself after that.
And that does work. Is that right? You actually get the point if you get
Yeah, you've done it.
Shut out?
You did now, it. Remember that, Joe?
Really hard to do, but I just
– Oh, yeah. I did forget.
But – Anyway, Duchene's off the board.
You've given me an idea.
Yeah.
But they're playing Vancouver.
If they get shut out by Vancouver.
They're not going to get shut out by Vancouver. Cody Glass.
Cody Glass, the selection. Michelle Knezovic, you're up next. Duchene and Glass off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I'm going to go with Tommy Novak.
Novak.
He's kind of on a heater.
Mm-hmm.
He's been playing very well lately. There is no question about that. So Duchene, Glass, and Novak are off the board. I'll take a little flyer here. I'm going to go Matthias Ekholm. I think Ekholm will score tonight. He doesn't get picked very often in this competition, but I'm going with him.
What an interesting Preds pick to click this has been. Duchene, probably a state of the team right there.
Duchene, Glass, Novak, and Ekholm, the selections in Preds pick to click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Joe, what was your reaction to our interview with David Poile last segment?
I'm seeing some reactions on Twitter. I see Alex Doherty has a tweet right now, says day to day, said they're in a gray area. Walking back that last weekend is important. I think that's fair. I think there's a little bit of, I guess I didn't expect him to come out and say, okay, I'm basically resolved, but I guess tonight if we win 8-0, I won't sell. But it was a little bit of walking back the urgency that was expressed a week ago. I mean, day-to-day, gray area. Is it just GM speak?
I think so.
Is it just GM speak?
Like, I kind of, okay. Honestly, one of my my takeaway is I think they made their decision. Like, I think they have made the decision to go ahead and start listing.
How confident are you in that? Give me a percentage confidence.
80%.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident. I mean, look, he spent the whole first part of the answer of the first question we talked to him talking about how this is an important time for our season, but an important time for the future of our franchise too. Like, I think, like, reading between the lines there, that kind of tells me where they're at right now. Now, I guess you leave yourself open to the idea of, while you're listening, if you just roll off 3 wins here and find yourself in a better place in the standings, then that's the day-to-day part of it. But I mean, like, I never thought David Poile was going to come out here and say, yep, we're selling. Like, it's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, I agree. But he also did bring up the 8 seed in 2017.
I know.
So I'm just saying, I mean, I don't think he closed the door. You're right. I think there was some subtext in the answer that felt that way. I don't know that I'm 80, though. I think I'm more like 50.
Well, maybe I'm crazy.
8%.
I will say there's a lot of people on Twitter reacting to the use of reset instead of rebuild. That's taken off on Twitter right now.
Yes. Rebuild is not a word, unless competitive is in front of it, that David Poile likes to use.
But I've also talked about this. Like, you can think what you will about that. I understand it. I've also said, and I said it yesterday on Chase and Michelle, like, I think the Predators should rebuild. I don't think they can. Like, I think their contracts are in a situation where they can't. Now, you can move some stuff around, and you can, you know, start to lean that way, but, like, a total teardown, I think, is impossible with this group.
Well, you're going to have some folks on your roster who probably don't want to be here, and you don't want to be here. But you move a goalie, and I think that you can, and I think you have to. At some point in the not-so-distant future, moving a goalie, if it's the trading deadline, it has to be Soros. I mean, no one's taking, like, right? I mean, that's because he can help someone try to win a cup now. Once you get down the road, either of those guys could be of high interest to a lot of clubs.
I also love this. We got a, somebody on Twitter says, the questions were generic and Poile's answer were even more so. Okay.
Wait, where is this? I got to find this.
Well, like, for some people, like, the idea, like, of us not asking, like, so David, do you think you'll be fired today or tomorrow? Like, what do you guys expect him to say?
David, will you also please move out of town immediately after you're fired? I'd like you – can you have a different zip code after you're fired, please?
On.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, yeah, I'm not even – I can't find this. Where is this person on Twitter? I want to
maybe
yell at them
muted
on Twitter.
Him. Who knows?
Oh, is this already a premium?
I don't know.
Generic questions. Open-ended questions. I thought the questions were fine. Jared told us no softballs, though, as he boarded.
I appreciate everybody's assistance in trying to help us ask questions.
As he boarded a plane to Cancun.
We've never done this before, thank you, Jared. So appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
This is good stuff. I mean, look, again, they're in a spot right now where I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice not to listen. I said yesterday, my mind's made up. I'm selling if I'm the Predators. Is their mind made up? I don't know if I'd say it's made up, but I mean – like, reading between the lines there, like, Poile is pretty, like, he knows where this team is right now, and you have to listen on that front. Now, the other part of this that makes it different and kind of a weird situation, like, usually if you're a team that's selling, like, you have unrestricted free agents that you can unload and get, like, those rental deals done. And Pierre LeBrun put this out there last week at The Athletic. Like, the Predators don't have those. Like, they mostly every guy we're talking about is under contract at least for one more year. Like, even Niederreiter, he's got one more year left on his deal. Like, the Predators don't have the quote-unquote rental player. And those are different deals to make. Like, they're not as cut and dry as the, all right, we'll give you a second-round pick for this rental player. Like, there's a lot that goes into those deals.
You got to have the room. And, yeah, and, again, some retention of salary in something. I think that's a real possibility.
Well, I bring all that up because, like, I think, just my guess, based on the way things could go the next couple of weeks, if they decide to sell, I think you could see a guy or two moved. Like, you could see a player or two moved. I think this offseason could be where it gets pretty interesting. Like, if you get through the season and let's say you make a coaching change and – you do all these different things, like the off season, like UC Soros. Let's say him. Like, I don't see UC Soros getting traded at the trade deadline. I don't think it's going to happen. That seems like more of an off season move if you decided to go that route. Could an Ekholm or a McDonough be an off season move? Like, with Fabbro, is that an off season move? Like Niederreiter screams trade deadline move to me. Like, I think you could trade Nito Niederreiter pretty easily at this year's deadline.
And get what?
You know, second rounder, third rounder, somewhere in that neighborhood. Have a year left.
If you give up a second rounder for Lozon and get a third rounder for Niederreiter, how?
That's the thing, but, like, not all deadlines are created equal. And just because you made that deal doesn't mean that somebody else is going to make that
just
deal.
Just saying, that should
I hear you.
Make you not accept anything but a second.
I hear you. I mean, and I'm with you. I mean, look, Cal Yarncroc went last year for a second, a third, and, like, a sixth, which I thought was insane at the time, but he did.
That's my guy.
So, the prices at the deadline every year are really interesting. I'm just saying they're in a different spot deadline-wise than the normal deals that you see.
So what you're saying is they may not do much and then people really going to be mad, even though that may be the plan.
I'm saying that could happen.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for us today.
Sounds fun.
On Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle is up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.